The scripture reading this evening is taken from the book of John. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
Good to be with you again tonight. Hope everyone had a restful afternoon. This morning, we look at the lesson, How to Know You Are Saved. And we're going to continue that tonight as we suggested this morning. Let me say I appreciate Steve announcing our website this morning, particularly winding down with the word. We want to remind everyone about that. But also, our podcast is getting close. I've decided simply to title it. Someone says we ought to have a title for it. So examining the scriptures will be the title of that. But a brand new podcast, and we have decided to make it weekly. So every week we'll have a new podcast. There's still some things being worked out about that. But let's keep that in mind and tell others about that. We're trying to steer individuals towards our website, and hopefully good things might come from that. How to know you are saved. That is very important to consider. As we said this morning, the majority of people on earth believe that they are saved. Not everyone follows the Bible. Many religions, of course, have to do with the following and the believing in false gods. But even those who are caught up in that believe, according to their own religion, whatever it might be, that they're living in favor with their particular God. Certainly those who claim to believe in the Bible, those who claim to be following Christ, the majority of people on earth believe that they are saved. And even with regard to churches of Christ, those within the Church of Christ, most people believe that they are saved. But we need to be sure about it, because there isn't anything more important than the salvation of the soul. So how can we be sure? How can we know that we are saved? This morning we simply said that we need to listen to the Spirit. We allowed Paul to explain that to us in Romans the 8th chapter. And the bottom line is we need to follow the Spirit. We need to be led by and guided by the Spirit. The Spirit, of course, communicates to us not in any miraculous way today, but through the medium of the Word of God. The Bible is the work of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who has revealed it. That was the plan of God. And so we need to listen to what the Spirit says. And Paul in Romans chapter 8 at verse 14 tells us that if we are led by the Spirit, then we are children of God. And we can know whether or not that's the case, because he goes on to say at verse 16 that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. But the only way that happens is if you can go to the Word of God, you can go to the revelation that has been revealed by the Spirit, and you can verify by the Word of God that you have done exactly what the Spirit has instructed you to do. Now, if you can do that, it doesn't matter what the majority of people in the world believe or think. It doesn't matter if people think that you're lost. It doesn't matter if people in denominational circles say that you're narrow-minded because you're a member of the Church of Christ. It doesn't matter if people who believe in faith only claim that we're heretics because we believe there's something that man has to do to be saved. It really doesn't matter when anyone thinks or anyone saves. If you can put your finger on the passage and you can see that you have done exactly what the Spirit has commanded to be done, then the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. On the other hand, if you can't do that, you might be absolutely convinced that you're saved. If all you're doing is listening to preachers and pastors, and yet what they are telling you, for example, once again, they say, oh, all you have to do is believe and you'll be saved. If you can't find that in the Bible, then the Holy Spirit is not bearing witness with your spirit. You cannot be sure that you are saved. So the only way you can be absolutely 100% sure is if you are being led by the Spirit, by following the instructions of the Spirit. Now tonight we want to continue, and all of that that we dealt with this morning, while there were some things, if you were here, obviously, that might be applicable to us who are Christians, the overall principles certainly would apply to Christians and non-Christians. We were really working our way towards God's plan of salvation. As we suggested this morning, the Holy Spirit reveals that we must not only hear the Word of God, but we must believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And so again, if you've done those things, you know that you are a child of God. But now, as we focus more on us, how to know that you are still saved? You need to know, are you still in a right relationship with God? Are you still in fellowship with God? Are you still saved? It's not enough to say yes, because I'm still a member of a local church of Christ. Well, it really doesn't matter if you have your name on a roll book in some directory. Are you still saved? You need to be sure about it. And John helps us with that. So we want to look at four things very quickly tonight. First of all, we know we are saved by our ongoing obedience. Like, obedience doesn't stop with baptism. The only thing baptism does is put you on the right track. Now you have to run the race. And when it comes down to running the race, you have to make sure that you are running according to the rules. You remember what Paul said in a familiar passage in 2 Timothy chapter 2 at verse 5. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Now, I know that there are some, even among us, men like Max Licato and Glenn Owens and others, who are now shouting to anyone who will listen, there are no rules, there are no there are no regulations. Max Licato says, we're in a relationship now. I used to believe in those rules and regulations, but now I'm in a relationship, he says, with Jesus Christ. Well, the fact of the matter is, there are rules and regulations you have to follow. If you obey the gospel of Christ, you have entered into the race of Christianity. And wherever you have a race, there are rules that you have to abide by. And you will not be crowned unless you compete according to the rules. And so we understand that that is the case. Running according to the rules simply involves obeying God. All of the instructions that God has set forth, you have to be willing to abide in. You have to be willing to obey. Are you doing that? Are you even actively involved in keeping the commandments of Christ? It's not how you begin the race. Now, that's important. You'll not get on the right track if you obey a perverted gospel. If you just listen to what man says you have to do to be saved, you'll never get in the race in the first place. If you are led by the Spirit, you'll find yourself on the right track, and that's important. But what is more important is that you finish the race. That's why Paul could stare death in the eyes, and he wasn't worried about it. That's why he could say when he knew he was going to be executed, the time of my departure is at hand. He wasn't worried about that at all. Because as he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. That's the important thing. You have to finish the course. You have to continue to run. You have to continue to run according to the rules. You know who knew that? Paul understood that. You remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, turn your Bibles over there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul has something to say about this race that's under consideration. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and beginning at verse 24, Paul writes this. He says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? That's in a physical race. But he said, so run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control. Now listen, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Now there's a whole lot we could talk about in these particular verses. But notice that last part. We all need to understand we can be disqualified. Again, I know people teach against that. I know Calvinism says that's not the case. But Paul, as an inspired apostle of Christ, as one who accomplished many great things, established many local congregations, had helped the Lord convert many, many souls, one of the great Christians who has ever lived, and yet he understood he had to discipline his body. He had to keep it under control because he too could be disqualified. And if he could, you can. If he could, I can. And so we have to make sure that we continue to compete according to the rules, that we continue to be active, we continue to work. Again, not with meritorious works, but works of obedience. You want to stay saved, you have to keep on working. That's a part of running according to the rules. You have to keep the commandments of God. So, are you still saved? If you're not obeying God, then you're not. But let's look at another one. We know we are saved by our brotherly love. Listen to what John says next in chapter 3 at verse 14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Now that really doesn't need interpreting, does it? As we said this morning on one point, all you have to do is read it and believe it, and if you make application of it, then you know you'll be saved. You know you are saved. You continue in life. But there's no faking this. Do you love your brother and sister in Christ? You say, what brother and sister? All of your brethren. Like if there's a brother or sister you don't love, you continue in death. This is one of the ways we know that we are saved. We love the brethren. And we don't even have to guess whether or not we're doing that. Because this wonderful guide we call the Bible tells us exactly what love is and how it behaves. Remember? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we don't have time to look at it in detail, but let's just read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The great passage on love, probably the greatest passage in the Bible on love. Paul tells us if love were a person, this is how it would obey. And this is what he says. 1 Corinthians 13, and at verse 4, he says, love is patient. And really, he is dealing with being patient towards people. Like, you need to be patient in every aspect of your life. But it's a lot easier to be patient with things than it is with people. If you love your brethren, you'll be patient with them. You'll be kind, he says. Love does not envy and it does not boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on having its own way. In other words, it's not selfish. It is not irritable. Like, have you ever been around a brother or sister who is always in a bad mood? Almost every time you see them, something's wrong. Something's bothering them. You have to walk on eggshells, so to speak, because you don't want to upset them. That's because they don't love. How do you know that? That's kind of judgmental. They're not demonstrating love. They're not acting the way love acts. Paul, by inspiration, says love is not irritable or resentful. It doesn't hold grudges. It doesn't have a running tab in its mind of every time a brother or sister has offended them. Love, in other words, is willing to forgive. Do you hold a grudge against any brother or sister in Christ? Or have you lodged some negative things up here that you think about and focus on all the time? That's not love. That's not love. Love just doesn't behave like that. And so Paul says, it's not resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. You're saddened when you see a brother or sister in Christ doing something that is contrary to the will of God. You're worried about their soul. You abhor that which is evil because that's what God does and that's the way love acts. Instead of rejoicing in wrongdoing, it rejoices with truth. Love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Now clearly we could spend a lot of time on this great chapter on love. But you understand the point. Do you have brotherly love? Hebrews chapter 13 at verse 1. The Hebrews writer simply said, let brotherly love continue. And it's in the imperative mood. He is saying, you let brotherly love continue. It's a commandment. It's not optional. I'm going to let brotherly love continue as long as my brother or sister in Christ never offends me. As long as he or she never sins against me. As long as they always treat me the way they should. No, you are to love the brethren. Let brotherly love continue. And that is a sign, that is evidence that you are saved. What if you don't love? You abide in death. As I said before, you can't fake it. God knows the way love acts and he knows the way you act. And we should know the way love acts because we have the description of love in the Bible. So are you still saved? Do you or don't you love the brethren? Well, that's basically a yes or no question, isn't it? And there's a yes or no answer. Either you do or you don't. And it says something about whether or not you are saved. Here's the third one. We know we are saved by our having the Spirit. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. Now, obviously, we talked about this morning and being led by and living by, walking by the Spirit. And so certainly what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, the Spirit dwelling in us is somewhat applicable here as well. But let's elaborate on that a little bit. How do you know that you have the Spirit? This morning we found from Romans chapter 8, if you have the Spirit, then the body is dead because of sin. In other words, you won't use your body as an instrument of unrighteousness. You won't live in sin. You might sin from time to time because we all fall short of the glory of God. But you will not live and abide in sin. You will not allow sin to reign over you. Romans 6 at verse 13. If you do, then you don't have the Spirit. But how is it that we demonstrate that we're not doing that? That the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. And again, we are walking after the Spirit. How do we really know? And the simple answer is because we have the fruit of the Spirit. And again, there's no faking that. Remember Galatians chapter 5, again, we don't have time, just like in 1 Corinthians 13, in that list, we don't have time to elaborate on this, but turn over to Galatians chapter 5, and let's just read it. Galatians chapter 5, and beginning at verse 22. Galatians chapter 5, and at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And so there's some repetition there. But not just love, there's joy. Right. Again, that's sort of repetitious because over there, when we look at how love behaves, we saw it's not irritable. The individual who is always irritable is certainly not a joyful person, is not a person who is constantly rejoicing, and yet that's a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Now, you can study that more sometime on your own. You can go back and really do some research on what's involved in all of those definitions. But we have a description. If the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, if you possess the Holy Spirit, you bear the fruit of the Spirit. There isn't any exception to that. You can't say, well, I have the Spirit, but right now I just don't have the fruit of the Spirit. No, then you don't have the Spirit. If the Spirit is dwelling in you through the medium of God's Word, then you demonstrate in your day-to-day life how you behave at work, how you behave at school, how you treat your husband or treat your wife, how you treat your children or your parents, whoever it is. Every day you demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't mean that you have perfected any of these things. We need to continue to grow in Christ, but all of these things are present in your life because it's a part of possessing the Spirit. And the fact of the matter is, if you don't possess the Spirit, then you are not saved. And so, how to know you are saved? You demonstrate that you have the Spirit by the way that you live your life. Let's look at one more. We know that we are saved by our belief in Jesus. Again, John says a little something about that. 1 John 5 at verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Are you saved? Are you really saved? Do you believe in Jesus? It's amazing that there are a lot of people who fall into this category again in the religious world, particularly now those who believe in the Bible and claim to be following Christ, who would say, oh yes, I believe in Jesus. Listen to me. Every single Jehovah Witness would tell you they believe in Jesus, but they don't, because they deny the nature of Jesus. They deny the deity of Christ. To say that Jesus is nothing more than Michael the archangel, that's not believing in Jesus. And so if you are saved, then you believe in Jesus. But notice now the wording of this. John really talks about something specific here. We must believe in the name of the Son of God. We must accept the authority of Christ. That's what in the name of means. Do you believe in the name of the Son of God? Do you believe in the authority of Jesus Christ? Are you demonstrating that by the way you live your life? Even by the church that you are a member of? Do you really believe in Jesus? Again, there's a lot of people who say they believe in Jesus, but then they attach themselves to some religion, some church that does everything it wants to do, doesn't have to have any authority for anything, really. But then at the end of the day, they say, we believe in Jesus. Or as we talked about in Bible class this morning, some denominational churches that have a council of men who make decisions, rules and regulations that govern that particular denomination, then they turn around and say, we believe in Jesus. Or even the Catholic Church that claims that the authority belongs to the Pope. He's the head of the church on earth. Whenever anybody uses that kind of language, they don't believe in Jesus. Now listen, they would say they do. Most of them even really, really believe that they do. But they don't. Because to believe in Jesus is to believe in the name of the Son of God. It's to believe and to accept the authority of Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. He's the only head of the church. He's the only head that the church needs. There's one body. There's one head. And in our daily lives, we demonstrate by the way we live whether or not we accept the authority of Jesus. Colossians 3 at verse 17 says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Do you do that? Do you live your life accepting and respecting the authority of Jesus Christ? Whatever we do, and word or deed, whatever it is that is preached, whatever it is that is practiced, must be done by the authority in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you know why we would do that? Because we recognize the nature of Jesus. We know exactly who He is. He's not just an ordinary man. He's not just some great prophet who lived a long time ago. He is that Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's a part of accepting Jesus. In fact, in 1 John chapter 5 and at verse 20, John writes, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. You cannot have eternal life if you reject that Jesus is the Son of God. And so, how to know that you are saved? How can we be sure? We can be 100% sure when we listen to the Holy Spirit. Not the Holy Spirit speaking to us verbally. Not by some kind of miraculous demonstration of the Spirit. But when we follow the revelation of the Spirit. And it leads us to obey the gospel of Christ. To hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Then we know we have become children of God. And we know we continue in fellowship with God. When we continue to obey. And we love the brethren. And we demonstrate by our lives that we have the Holy Spirit. By the fruit of the Spirit. And we continue day in and day out to believe and accept the authority of Jesus Christ. If you do those things, you are saved. No one should have to talk you into that. You are saved. You can be absolutely sure about it. But if you fail in any of those areas, you may think you're saved. Other people might say that you're saved, but you are not. We'll get to studying on our Thursday morning some more of the seven churches. And you remember one had a reputation that they were alive, and yet Jesus said that you are dead. We don't want that to be the case with us individually or as a local church. So let's be sure about our salvation. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? We've already told you what you have to do to be saved. Why not do it here tonight? Why not obey the gospel? Listen to the Holy Spirit. Allow yourself to be led by the Holy Spirit to lead you into obeying the gospel of Christ so your sins can be washed away by the precious blood of Jesus and you can become a child of God. If you haven't been involved in ongoing obedience, if instead you have walked after the flesh, that is, instead of walking after the Spirit, then do something about it tonight. Repent of your sins. Ask God for forgiveness. He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. If you sin publicly, come forward and let us know so we can comfort you. We can help you. We can pray for you. But do what you have to do. Do it right now as we together stand and sing.